Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Fired up about the stupidity of the Santa Clara County regulation that is requiring Stanford football and the San Francisco 49ers not to be able to play inside of their county, and asking a question that I think is a big one out there because of the precedent that it's setting. Why are these schools and this team not filing lawsuits saying that there is no authority to force them away from being able to play their games? They're already playing without any crowds present at all. If I'm the San Francisco 49ers or if I'm Stanford, I am filing a lawsuit saying that Santa Clara County does not have the authority to ban us from playing football in this county, that there are no health regulations that justify the decision that they are making. And I'm citing as evidence of the basic rights that we have in our country to be able to live free. I mean, it's absolutely insane. Now, to be fair, this is me putting my lawyer hat on a little bit. The Supreme Court has given an important ruling, didn't get as much attention probably as it deserved. You know, on, I guess it was Wednesday night, right before Thanksgiving, the Supreme Court struck down some of the regulations that had been issued by the governor of New York, saying that our rights as free citizens under our Constitution do not disappear because we're in a pandemic. And I'm paraphrasing there, but that's the essential crux of that holding. And so maybe the NFL is telling the 49ers not to file this lawsuit, but I can't believe that the 49ers just packed up and moved to Arizona to play the remainder of their season. And I can't believe that Stanford is doing the same thing rather than challenge the public health authority in Santa Clara County over whether they have the ability to stop football from being played without crowds present, without parallel anywhere else in the country on a health-related basis. It doesn't make any sense to me that the 49ers and Stanford are not challenging this regulation and seeking to find a judge who can say, no, you guys can play. Because the absurdity of relocating to Arizona, if you're concerned about health in a pandemic, how is it healthier to force hundreds of people, the entire San Francisco 49er team and the entire Stanford Cardinal team, to relocate to another location where you're going to be doing the same exact thing that you would be doing in your home? It doesn't make any sense at all. It's, in fact, the height of lunacy. And the fact that no one is even raising this as an issue or willing to combat these petty despots in charge of Santa Clara County is, to me, a failure of the American legal system. And this is sports that should be sending a message that these 10-pot dictator idiots are not going to be able to dictate whether or not you can play sports. Now, I'm thankful that there are places in Washington and Oregon where Stanford is going to be able to play. And I'm thankful that there are places in Phoenix where the San Francisco 49ers are going to be able to play. But this is a monster story. I'm not aware, you guys may be able to think of an example, I'm not aware of any time in American history where a team has been told you can't work, you can't do your business here. Can you think? I can't think of one where a team has been told by a county executive, you can't do your legal business in this county. And the team has just said, okay, we'll just relocate. I mean, it's crazy. They are acquiescing to something that I believe is fundamentally an unconstitutional abrogation of their rights. We got a lot of people who want to weigh in, 877-996-6369. I understand some people in sports media are not, let's be honest, smart enough to even understand why this is a big deal or why this is a big precedent. And this is me putting on my lawyer hat. But I can't believe that this is not a much bigger story. This has truly never happened, to my knowledge, in the history of the country, and the San Francisco 49ers are just meekly accepting this, even though I believe it violates their constitutional rights, and even though I bet there are San Francisco 49er attorneys who are beating on the table saying, my God, what are we doing? Why are we not filing a lawsuit over this? And I bet there are some people at Stanford saying the same thing. Instead, the teams are relocating, hundreds of people being forced out of their county to be able to play football. It's pure insanity. I think we got somebody on the VIP line, Danny G.
Yeah, let's start with Mike in Modesto. He's got a personal experience with Santa Clara County.
Mike, what you got for me?
Okay, Clay. I'm a pastor, and my church is around 300. We have a Christian school. In September, we are going to have school. We got a guideline from Santa Clara of everything you need to do, from temperature checks, wearing masks, social distancing, how many kids can be in a certain area. It's called hoarding, separating your grade levels. Now I get a call from Santa Clara. They tell me, I hear you're going to have school. We're shutting down. We're in a tier now. You can't have school. And I said, who told you we were having school? And he said, it's an anonymous source. Of course, it's always an anonymous source.
Right, but so you run a private school, and Santa Clara County said you couldn't open?
Yes. And then, so I said, they said, are you going to stop? I said, no, we're going to have school. Someone else calls me a week later. Are you still having school? Yes. Well, we're going to start fining you $8,000 a day. I said, okay, we're still going to have school. Immediately, I hang up with them. I call our lawyers, the Christian Lawyer Association, give it to them. They call me a week later. He says, Pastor, you got to shut the school down, or they're going to start charging this $8,000. So we have to go to video and have the kids do it at home. Same thing with our church. Finally, we got people. Over time, we brought people back to church, have them park in the back so our cars are not right out in the front. Now, what happened in the Supreme Court, you mentioned it. Since the Supreme Court has said that, we don't even park in the back no more. We park right in the front, and we just got a notice from Santa Clara. Listen to this. Worship and protest, that's what you can do in Santa Clara. Restaurants can't open, but worship and protest. How ridiculous does protest come in? Thank you for the time, Clay.
Thank you for – I mean, yes. Look, I mean, the height of absurdity has been – you aren't allowed to go to church, but tens of thousands of people can protest through the streets. So maybe as a result of that Supreme Court decision, some counties are starting to get nervous about their ability to regulate people, because guess what? You still have First Amendment rights, even though we're in the middle of a the COVID situation. And, you know, the Constitution doesn't cease to exist when there's a pandemic. If anything, the Constitution matters the most when we're in times of national crisis. That's when your rights are the most under siege, regardless of what your political beliefs are or regardless of what teams you root for. The precedent that is being set here, that a team can be forced to relocate out of a county and not allowed to play its games, is pure insanity. And yet the 49ers and Stanford are accepting this without even raising a legal challenge to it. They're allowing these petty tin pot dictators to tell them what they can and cannot do. And frankly, again, purely from a health perspective, if anything, this is actually making things more dangerous. The CDC is saying don't travel. Santa Clara County is forcing hundreds of people to travel rather than stay at their physical location where they already are. Santa Clara County is forcing the San Francisco 49ers and the hundreds of people with them and the Stanford Cardinal and the hundreds of people with them to all relocate out of the county to travel, which is the exact opposite of what the CDC guidelines are supposedly telling us. It's mind-numbing in its insanity, but there's so much craziness going on right now that most people aren't even realizing what's actually taking place here. We got a lot of people who want to weigh in, I think. 877-996-6369, and this is where sports is an important microcosm of your overall rights. Never in the history of my life, and I'm not sure it's ever happened before in the history of the NFL, has a team been told, you can't play here, you have to leave in order to play football. And most in the media aren't even paying attention to it. Does that surprise you, Danny G? I mean, this is a pretty big story, and I bet we're the only national show that's even going to talk about it.
For icing on the cake, do you know how the 49ers found out about this?
I think from the media.
From social media. The county did not even communicate this with the team ahead of time. They found out about it on their plane heading to L.A. to play against the Rams. And then the players are freaking out, talking to the coach, Kyle Shanahan. Yeah. He's like, I don't know what's going on.
Probably because their wives and family members are blowing them up, saying, wait a minute, are you going to, what are we doing? You know?
Yeah. He's there getting all these questions because their family are asking them what the hell is going on. Needless to say, he's not pleased at all with Santa Clara County for not even communicating with the organization.
Eddie, I know you. The update aspect of your job has been crazy basically since March. But isn't it wild that we have an NFL team being forced out of its home market, disallowed to play football games, and the same thing is happening in a major college football conference and program with Stanford, and most people aren't even blinking, they're just accepting it.
Yeah, it is crazy, and I know we had kind of talked about this when all this was going down initially here in California about the possibility of maybe the teams here in L.A.
If they I talked about it months ago, yeah. Having to relocate.
No, you did, and I was really blown away when Stanford decided they were going to pick up stakes and leave the state for multiple weeks and just move the program out of state. It's insane.
A college program doing it is even wilder. And I can't believe that as much resources financially as the 49ers and Stanford have, that they're not willing to show a backbone and stand up and file a lawsuit questioning the authority of their being able to play football being taken away from them by Santa Clara County. I can't believe that it's not a money situation. I can't believe they wouldn't try to set the precedent that they have the right to play football in their home market without having to bend to the will, again, of these 10-pot idiot dictators, the logic of which doesn't even add up. That they're trying to argue that it's a safety issue, and then they're making hundreds of people relocate and travel, which is arguably far more dangerous than just playing the game would be. It just doesn't make any sense. Dub, we got some people who want to weigh in.
We sure do. Let's go to Ivan in Oakland.
Ivan, what you got for me?
Thanks for having me on. I'm kind of under the same thing with the 49ers because I own a professional sports team. And so I have to pop a question. This is how it's working. In California, the governor allows pro sports to start and participate and practice as long as you follow the guidelines of consistent testing, you know, like the NBA, NFL, what everybody else is doing. Okay, so, but here's where the governor messed up. He gave the counties permission to override his decision if they feel it's not safe. So
yeah.
That's where a lot of the confusion is with the pro teams. It's legal to participate in California, but they can just shut it down at their will.
Yeah, the local authorities can. What team do you own, by the way?
It's a ABA basketball. I'm not going to say the name because
okay.
You have millions of viewers. I don't want this to get back.
Yeah, I understand, but
right
your
now.
Point is you're not only forced to adhere to whatever the state of California says, but they have given the local authorities on a county basis, on a city basis, the ability to make decisions which can take away the rights even that the state of California is allowing. Thank you for that call. It's important. Although my fear, and this is what I said when I was talking about this last segment, my fear is what happens is everybody is in a competition to take away your rights over COVID, to overreact more. And so if Santa Clara County does something, then I'm afraid if I live in L.A. that L.A. County is going to follow that lead. And then if L.A. County follows that lead, Well, then the governor of California might follow that lead. And before long, the idiot precedent that is set in Santa Clara County is followed by the entire state of California. And my concern is that's why a lawsuit is important, because you need to actually let Santa Clara County know that their authority to take away your constitutional rights is going to be challenged by people with deep pocketbooks who can fight legal battles like these. Again, I find it stunning beyond belief that the San Francisco 49ers and the NFL and that Stanford and the Pac-12 have not been willing to stand up to Santa Clara County, because once Santa Clara County does this, it's going to impact other teams, right? I would be very surprised if at some point this doesn't trickle into LA County and then the overall state of California as a whole. The precedent that is being set here matters a great deal. Who's up next, Dub?
We got Jake in California.
Jake, what you got for me?
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm definitely a concerned citizen, and I'm trying to figure out who exactly do you sue?
Yeah, it's a good question.
It's almost like a headless monster out here. I've got a daughter who is being homeschooled. Well, really, she's in public school, but it's distance learning.
Yep.
And the teachers' union is what's holding it down.
That's
the
right.
The teachers' union doesn't want to return to school. You got everything going on with my wife as a hairdresser. She's been shut down. I don't know. Do you sue the county? Who do you sue at the county? It's almost like a headless monster.
Thanks yeah, and look, thanks for the call. It's a smart question. I'm not an expert in the Santa Clara County regulatory structure, so I'm not sure the particular entity or the people in positions of power that you would sue directly, but that's not a complicated question for a lawyer to figure out if they're in Santa Clara County. The 49ers and Stanford know exactly how the lawsuit would need to be directed from a procedural posture to challenge the ability of these executives to be taking away their right to play a football game. It's a complicated question in different jurisdictions over who exactly has the authority to be sued and who's making these decisions. But for people who are in Santa Clara County, that would not be a difficult legal question to answer. And by the way, it's different for everybody, right? So if you're in LA, the person that you might want to sue over trying to shut down all restaurants, for instance, is different than the person that you would sue in Santa Clara County. Although if the governor ends up following the lead of Santa Clara County, you could end up suing the state of California and the governor as the representative making a decision like that, right? That's an interesting kind of procedural question that is a law school exam type question, but it would not be that complicated for the 49ers or for Stanford to file this lawsuit, which I think they should do, and I can't believe they haven't already done. Who's up next?
Got Jose in Fremont.
Jose, what's up, my man?
What's up, fellas? Hey, I work in Santa Clara. I've seen the impact that this whole mess has done to a lot of little businesses.
No doubt.
And affected my job personally. And let me tell you, man, there's a reason why we call California California. Because over here, people are paying for what they vote for, Clay. I'm not going to get into politics, but let's keep it real. People are paying for who they vote for right now. Because look back when it first started. They took our rights away to bear arms. They shut all the gun shops down because it wasn't essential. I don't know who. If you didn't think guns were essential at that time, you're crazy, because everybody was in panic mode. Nobody knew what was going to happen. So that's an essential right.
Yep.
It's just the way things are ran out here. And look, you got a guy that's shutting things down as the governor, but then he's going to tweet that go support little businesses. You know how many little businesses are closed in California? People are leaving Cali in drones because of this. This is insane. This is it's the way California is ran. I'm even thinking about leaving myself, Clay, and. The 49ers need to sue. They need to do something, because the little people like us, there's nothing we can really do, man, because we're at the mercy of these clowns.
I appreciate it. I agree. That's why you need people with resources to be able to throw punches at each other, right? This is an important precedent to me that the 49ers should be standing up for, that Stanford should be standing up for, rather than relocating their entire football teams to other states. Why not put on your boxing gloves and start to throw some haymakers and get into a real battle here? Because I think there would be a tremendous amount of support that would come out for the San Francisco 49ers and for Stanford for fighting back against Santa Clara County. I think there are a ton of small business owners out there that don't have the resources to go toe-to-toe, blow for blow, with a state of California governmental entity. They're afraid to do it. This is where you really need somebody to stand up and start throwing punches back.
If the 49ers were to say, screw it, well, you know what, we're staying here and we're going to practice and we're going to play here, what can they do anyway? They're just going to get what? Fine, that's it, right? Something like that?
It's an excellent question. I don't know whether they would arrest them.
They would. I don't think they would.
They might. I mean, but that would be – it's sometimes getting arrested is a good thing because it forces the stupidity of a policy to actually be defended in court, right? When we just had the 65th anniversary of the Rosa Parks movement. And when you arrest someone, we just had this happen in Nashville, my hometown. There were three Ole Miss girls, 23-year-olds, who had a party, a college football viewing party at their house in Nashville. And they were arrested because too many people came to that party. Arrested for a house party. And yet we got people marching out in the streets, tens of thousands of people. Well, you have the right to have a party at your house. And so if you are charged with violating one of these ordinances, it actually can be a good thing because you are able then in a court of law to argue against the authority that ever implemented that rule in the first place. And remember, I think the vast majority of people listening to me right now are nodding their head. They're like, wait a minute, why can a county executive disallow an NFL team from playing inside of the stadium? Remember, the 49ers already bent over backwards here. There are announcers wearing masks. Everybody on the sidelines been wearing masks. There are no fans present. The stadium is otherwise empty. They've done everything that Santa Clara County has asked. And Santa Clara County keeps demanding more because that's what dictators do. They keep demanding more. You can never satisfy them. And that's why sooner or later you got to bow up. You got to put on the boxing gloves and you got to say no more and start throwing punches. Dub, we have anybody else?
We got a couple more here if we want to.
Let me try
quickly
to get to them fast. Who's up next?
We got Charlie in Dayton.
Charlie, be fast for me. What you got?
Hey, you're talking about a team that almost didn't draft Nick Bosa because he supports the President of the United States. And you're talking about a league that only makes horrible decisions in the NFL. You know, like, you know, they backed everybody taking a knee 4 years after it happened. You know, so I'm not surprised. And I feel sorry for everybody in California, man. That's a whole different world out there. I don't even, like, it's bizarre to me. Like, it almost sounds fake, Clay.
Thanks for the call. It is crazy that you can play football games in Arizona and Washington and Oregon, but you can't in Santa Clara County.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Joined now by Shannon Spake. She has got the Saints at the Falcons this weekend. Presuming that it ends up going on, Shannon, you going to watch the game this afternoon between the Ravens and the Steelers?
Yeah, I love a little Wednesday afternoon.
It's crazy, huh?
NFL. Yeah, yes, everything about this year is crazy. You and I have been talking since March, and it just seems like it's, that's all you could say, right? It's just crazy. I've heard you all morning long. I was actually texting Danny. I was like, he is hot this
morning. I'm fired up because, you know, one of the things, and just on a big picture, one of the things that I think is important about media, right, shows like mine, shows that other people like to listen to, is there are relatively few people that can actually throw punches back at people in positions of power, right? One of the great things about America is, so far at least, we're not China, where if you say something that makes someone in a position of power uncomfortable, they can't come and shut you down. And I know I'm speaking, I know that there are a ton of people who listen to this show at the San Francisco 49er facility, right? Because they start off their morning early, they're driving in. I know how popular this show is. I know that there are tons of them out there saying thank you. Why is Sanford, why are the 49ers, Shannon, a billion-dollar company that has unlimited resources, right? Like the average guy down the street who's got a small business, he's got a liquor store or he's got a gas station or his woman's got a clothing store. Those individual small businesses don't necessarily have the resources to go toe-to-toe with big government decisions. The 49ers do. Stanford does. Their unwillingness to fight these battles is not just about them. It's about everybody else who is also in business in Santa Clara County and, frankly, around this country who aren't able to go toe-to-toe and throw punches at big people. You know, when Gavin Newsom thumbs his nose at the rules that he has put in place, when the when all these mayors are thumbing their nose at the rules that they've put in place, they deserve to be held accountable. And it's like so many people won't do it because I don't know if they're afraid. I don't know if they're worried about losing woke points because suddenly the 49ers are concerned that if they say it's okay to play football, that they don't care about COVID. It's such a mind-numbingly, insanely dumb decision to me not to file a lawsuit, not to at least fight. I mean, think about this, Shannon. Just imagine. Think about the number of families. Think about the number of San Francisco 49er players, coaches, same thing for Stanford, who go home and they have to say to their wife and their kids, well, sorry, kids, in order to play football, we're going to Oregon or we're going to Washington or we're going to Arizona because those states will allow us to play football. And all of a sudden, they're just up and leaving their families. I mean, that's a tough conversation to have out of nowhere, right? I mean, it's a crazy conversation to have.
Yeah, or bringing their families to another place and having them, you know, in a hotel around other people.
That's exactly right. It defeats the entire purpose of health, which is the argument upon which it's being based.
Listen, one of the reasons I was a fan of your show before I actually was a guest on your show is because I just love the you always make me think, right? Not that I always agree with you with what you say, but you make me think and you always have, I feel like, support. You support your arguments really well. And I've always appreciated that about you. And I agree with this. Listen, I understand that some of these hospitals are getting overrun, and that is the argument. And that's a hard argument to go against, right? You see the healthcare workers, you know, they're taxed. They're asking healthcare workers to come out of retirement to come back. I get that, right? But the fact that some of these small businesses, as you mentioned, are not going to survive this.
Yeah.
The fact that I was told, like, I can't be around my family. I read a tweet. This is kind of what set me down a little bit of a path, of a Clay Travis Wednesday morning anger path. I saw this tweet, and it was like, if you traveled this weekend for the Thanksgiving holiday, you have to assume that you are exposed or have COVID. And I was like, well, I traveled, but I traveled for work. So does that mean that I don't have to worry about it? Only if I traveled for vacation or for my family? Like, listen, I travel every weekend and I know the chances are that I'm going to be exposed to this and I'm safe. Like when I had Thanksgiving, when I had my aunts and uncles who I mentioned last week on the show, who were going to do it anyways, right? They were going to get together for Thanksgiving anyways. I wore a mask because I'm around thousands of people every weekend, and I don't want to be responsible or lay it in bed at night at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking, why didn't I just wear a mask around my uncle? But they want to be around their family members. And I think that people should be able to make that decision at this point. Listen, it's a slippery slope, right? Because there are people that are making unwise decisions that are ultimately taxing these hospitals, but there has to be a middle ground.
And here's the problem. If the 49ers don't fight back, then I'm telling you this is going to spread. This is significant, and a lot of people aren't talking about this either. They didn't relocate in the state of California,
yeah,
right? The 49ers didn't say, okay, we'll just go down and play in that new stadium in Inglewood in L.A. The Stanford didn't say, okay, well, I'm sure we can go use the Rose Bowl, or we can talk to USC and they'll let us use the Coliseum. That's a relatively smaller trip, right, in many ways. Certainly inside the state, it might be considered to be less difficult of a transfer. No. The 49ers picked up and moved to Arizona.
Yeah.
And Stanford picked up, and they're going to relocate to two different states, Washington and Oregon. Why did they not relocate in the state of California? Because they're concerned, I think rightly, that once Santa Clara County makes that decision, then L.A. County's going to make that decision. And if L.A. County makes that decision, then they're going to have to relocate twice. So they chose to go to Arizona, where they feel like, because they have a Republican governor, frankly, that they're not going to shut down the Arizona Cardinals there. And so this is craziness, right? Like, yeah, they weren't even willing to move out of the county. They couldn't move to the next county over because they're concerned that they're going to get shut down there. And that's why fighting these battles is important, because there are going to be other counties now and other local mayors and executives who see what Santa Clara County did, and they're going to try to do the same thing.
Yeah, it doesn't, to me, it just, there's, I mean, we're on two totally different sides. Like, if you listen, again, like I mentioned, if you listen to one news broadcast, it tells you one thing. If you listen to another, it tells you another thing. And I just feel like the mixed messages are starting to make everybody just, like, question what they're really believing.
But the game that you're going to, right, the game that you have, there'll be fans present, right?
I believe that there are going to be fans. The last 2 weeks, though, however, in Minneapolis, there were not fans. And the gyms were closed, and there were, you know, signs on when we walked to get coffee one day. I think that they were closing down Minneapolis for 20 days or something. The last 2 weeks, and I'll tell you, it's crazy. I went the first 4 weeks no fans, and then I had three or four games with fans, and then the last 2 weeks without. And you can real. I mean, it's a huge deal.
Even if it's a small number of fans, it makes a difference. Yeah,
100%. I watched the Vikings come out of their tunnel, and I watched Dalvin Cook and all those guys kind of jump around on the sideline, and I heard them saying to each other, "Guys, we got to get up. We got to get up. We got to get up." And I'm not saying it's more important football, right? I mean, safety is yes, I agree 100%. But you do feel a really big difference. I'm just telling you from my perspective in Minneapolis.
I'm taking my family to a game this Sunday in Nashville, right? I'm going to go watch the Titans play against the Browns, which is a battle of 2-8-3 teams. It'll be the fifth different NFL game that I've gone to and that I've taken my family to. So you're in a situation now where, depending on where you're located in different markets, you can't play literally almost in the state of California, but you can have 30,000 fans present at Jerry World in Dallas and 15,000 fans present in Nashville, you know, 25% of the stands or whatever it is. And that dichotomy, that difference is pretty profound, right? I mean, it just kind of speaks to what you're talking about, the division overall.
Right. It just makes you go, all right, what's going on here, right? Just like you said, what's going on here? Why are, you know, this many people? Like, how many people do you have at the Titans games? How many people are allowed in the stands?
I think they keep bumping it up a little bit week to week, but it's around, you know, less than 25%. But I would expect that there'll be 12,000 or 13,000 people there on Sunday to watch the Browns. And then there's one more game. And then theoretically, the Titans are going to be able to host a home playoff game, which could be a fairly significant thing, right? If you're allowed to have 13,000 fans in some places, as opposed to zero in other places, that could be a decent little home field advantage.
And what about college games? Like, every weekend that I turn
25%,
on college games,
yeah,
you're like, what? I think the A&M game this weekend, we were like, is that a recorded game from last year?
Whatever they're doing in College Station, they are definitely bending the rules to get as many people in as they possibly
can.
But yeah, like, they have a legit home field advantage at A&M right now.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a big difference when the fans are in the stands. It's why we do it. It's exciting. You feel it. I like I said, I did the first one. It was a Pittsburgh game, and I was literally jumping up and down because I was like, this is what we've been missing. So I am excited this weekend, and it'll be, you know, not to kind of turn the corner, but it will be a good game. These teams just faced each other 2 weeks ago. Matt Ryan found himself on the turf about eight times in the game, but I think Raheem Morris has that team on a little bit of a roll now, so we'll see. At least against the Raiders, they were on a roll.
Yeah, no
right?
kidding. They were completely on a roll against the Raiders. Danny G, what happened to your team?
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
College football playoff rankings came out last night. We've got a Wednesday afternoon NFL game. Sorry, the Ravens on the road against the Steelers to finally complete the week in the NFL. What did we learn from the college football playoff rankings? Not much. The big story remains whether or not Ohio State is going to be able to finish their season, and if they do, whether they will be in the college football playoff. Big news also that the ACC seems to be paving the road for both Notre Dame and Clemson. to make the college football playoff as a result of wiping out games on December 12th. There will be no Florida State-Clemson makeup, and there will be no Notre Dame traveling to Wake Forest. Instead, both of those teams, presuming that they win this weekend, we've got Virginia Tech hosting Clemson, and Notre Dame is taking on Syracuse. Presuming both those teams win, then they would have a bye week, and then they would roll into the ACC title game on December 19th with a good chance of both Notre Dame and Clemson getting into the college football playoff if Clemson were to come back with Trevor Lawrence this time and beat Notre Dame. That will be an intriguing game to be watched for sure. Will the SEC follow that lead and try to protect its college football playoff contenders and give them a bye week? Wouldn't stun me at all. This weekend, Florida is on the road against Tennessee. If they win in Knoxville, the Gators would clinch the SEC East. Alabama is on the road in Baton Rouge. If the Tide win that game, they would clinch the SEC West. Would there then be any point at all in having Alabama play against Arkansas, a game they would be a big favorite in? And would there be any point in Florida playing LSU, a game they would be a big favorite in? I think there's a very good chance that the SEC would follow the ACC's lead, and once they had their conference championship game set, once Florida had won the East and once Alabama had won the West officially, they would go ahead and cancel those games on December 12th. I think that is very likely to happen. Why does that matter in the college football playoff picture? Because potentially that means that if Florida upset Alabama and if Clemson beat Notre Dame, those would be your four college football playoff teams. You'd have two from the SEC, two from the ACC, and it wouldn't matter at all what happens in the Big Ten with Ohio State or whether Texas A&M is able to finish 9-1 or even how Cincinnati's season comes to a close. That is where we are headed in the college football universe as we get ready for December action in the first Saturday of the month. Usually, by the way, this would be when college football is pretty much over. This would be when the conference championship games are happening. We would go ahead and set the college football playoff shortly thereafter. Instead, we're bumping all the way back to December 19th, so they've already added a couple of weeks to the college football schedule. Ohio State, by the way, back at practice. But last night, a little bit of fireworks. Kirk Herbstreit said he wouldn't be surprised if Michigan elected not to play against Ohio State. If that were to happen, that game, of course, scheduled for next Saturday. If that were to happen, then Ohio State wouldn't be eligible to play in the Big Ten title game, which is its own mess. We've got the game going on today at 3:40 Eastern. I think you said, Eddie Garcia, only the second time since the 1940s that we have had a Wednesday football game in the NFL. And the Ravens have landed in Pittsburgh, and that game is scheduled to go on. How would you break it down, Eddie Garcia? You are our resident Pittsburgh Steeler fan on the show.
Well, as you well know, Clay, it's always a spirited game regardless of the records between the two teams. I think Pittsburgh has been irritated quite a bit. Not that it's necessarily the Ravens' fault by this game being delayed three times, plus the fact that it's a rivalry game. I definitely think the Steelers will be ready to play and should take care of business against Robert Griffin III and a depleted Ravens team.
Yeah, it's interesting that the Steelers, probably of anybody in the NFL, have had the most impact from COVID without having major COVID issues within their own team, right? If you go back to the Titans issue and the way that game got rescheduled, they lost their bye week as a result of that. And by lost, I mean had it a lot earlier in the season than they were anticipating. And now with the situation breaking out with the Ravens, remember, this was a game that was supposed to be played 6 days ago, It was supposed to be the primetime game on Thanksgiving night. Instead, it ends up happening on a Wednesday. And now what? The Steelers, you'll know this better than me. I haven't kept up with all the days. The Steelers are playing on Tuesday now?
Yeah, next week? Yeah, against the Redskins.
Is that like it was supposed to be a Monday night game or whatever? I don't even know when the heck that game was supposed to be played. Anyway, so they'll play 6 days from now on Tuesday, so their schedule is off. And then I presume they would play Tuesday and then hope to get back onto a regular schedule for that game on Sunday, right?
Yeah, I think that's also going to be the Sunday night game against Buffalo in 2 weeks.
Which is a big game
for both
teams. And obviously the Ravens, it's interesting because if they end up having to cancel any games or postpone any games and add another week, then they're talking about adding an extra playoff team. So in addition to the fact that the Steelers have had to deal with a lot of COVID issues from their opponents, they also could end up losing their bye week in the playoffs because of other issues that could arise with the NFL coming down the stretch run of the season and with the complexities associated with finishing this year off. By the way, good news if you're out there. England has announced that they have approved the first COVID vaccine and they are going to begin to distribute it within days in England. This is the Pfizer vaccine that supposedly, I think I'm correct, December 10th in the United States, it can be officially okayed and then start to be rolled out within a couple of days in the United States. By the way, I don't know why they're waiting till December 10th. It seems to me that it would make sense to go ahead and give it the emergency authorization use. If we believe that it's effective, why are we waiting for, you know, over a week when there are people out there who might be able to take advantage of this vaccine? But regardless, England has okayed it, which would theoretically allow that to start to roll out. One of the challenges that I think American sports leagues will find themselves in is when is it okay for their players to be officially vaccinated for this thing, given the fact that athletes aren't under substantial duress from COVID because of their relative youth and health. But that will be an interesting storyline to follow. Could, for instance, and I'm just throwing this out there, could, for instance, the NFL get the teams that are going to play in the Super Bowl vaccinated before the Super Bowl to ensure that there are no COVID-related issues? Just kind of tossing it out there. It seems like that seems maybe possible. Maybe also for the NCAA tournament, maybe by the time we get to March, some of those college kids can start to be vaccinated, and that could then lead to the end of these COVID positive tests canceling sporting events.
What about for fans to get back in there at full capacity? Think that some of these teams are going to require you to get vaccinated? Because I know I have tickets for a concert that was postponed this year. It's moved to 2021, and it's part of Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster requires you to, in order to go back to that concert, you got to take the vaccine.
Yeah, I don't know.
Negative before.
I don't know how they're going to know, right? I don't know how a team would know whether the vaccination has occurred or not. But I would think we'll have full football. I would be stunned if we don't have full football stadiums again by September. And I think there's a good chance by the summer that everybody who wants to be vaccinated will have been vaccinated. Now, then you'll have a huge battle over people who want to be vaccinated and don't. And remember, this vaccine has not been cleared for children. And frankly, children really don't need to be vaccinated for COVID because there's almost zero risk to kids from COVID until they have a really safe and healthy vaccine for kids. So far, they've only tested it on people who are 18 and up. So I would think that it'll be a while before any sort of mass vaccination occurs for kids. But yes, there will be a battle over who gets vaccinated first. What about people who don't want to get the shot? I don't think there's any doubt that that will be the next front, but at least that will be a return to normalcy in many ways. And it sounds like the focal point is going to be, look, over half, if you actually break down the numbers accurately, over half the people who have died with COVID have done so from nursing homes. So people who are elderly are the ones who are at risk by and large from COVID. So when we get these first vaccinations rolling out, they should go straight into nursing homes. and just vaccinate the people there for COVID, because then you're wiping out half of the COVID deaths. And remember, these are deaths with COVID. One of the things that I think the media has done a bad job of acknowledging is that many of the people who are dying with COVID are dying with a ton of other comorbidities, right? An average of 3 to 4 other comorbidities. So it's not just COVID. When people say, oh, they died of COVID, oftentimes it's with COVID. And that's certainly true inside of nursing homes. So if you go into nursing homes and you roll out the vaccine there, I think it's 0.6% of the United States population is in nursing homes or assisted living facilities. So you think about the percentage of deaths. We're talking about basically 50%, because New York lied about the way that the nursing home deaths occurred there in terms of the data that they reported, and lied. Maybe it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but they didn't count the deaths from nursing homes the same way other states did. If you ended up in a hospital and you came from a nursing home, you're not counted as a nursing home death in New York. So if you actually counted the deaths accurately, I think it would be over half. But so we're talking about over half of the deaths in the United States coming from 0.6% of the population, from people in nursing homes. So again, my math live on the radio is never perfect, but that would mean around 1.5 million, 2 million people are in nursing homes or assisted living facilities. And we should have a rapid amount of that vaccine to be able to go out to the nursing homes. And then you also get people who are doctors and nurses taken care of. And I think that would go a long way towards rapidly ending whatever fear porn is out there. But in the meantime, it won't have erased all of the insanity that we have seen since this began. And I've been on a pulpit here going off on the ridiculousness of Santa Clara County and what they're causing for the San Francisco 49ers and for the Stanford Cardinal. And I'm going to continue to talk about that. And I'm going to make the argument in a way that probably you're not going to hear anywhere else in the world of sports, and why this is significant and why it should matter. But before we do that, I think you've got, I'm going to hit a couple of the 5-star reviews out there. We had another massive month in the podcast. Millions of you downloading the podcast every single month. We are, and continue to be, I think I said we were up 300%. Basically over last year in terms of podcast downloads. And that's because there's this huge desperate craving for authentic voices in the world of sports, because so many people out there are saying, oh, you know who's a hero? That kicker for Vanderbilt did a crappy kick. Oh, it was the greatest thing I've ever seen. You know, nobody's even pointing out anything about the 49ers moving to Arizona and how absurd it is. Nobody else is talking about Stanford. Nobody else has been honest with you about COVID from the get-go in the world of sports like this show has. And we're being rewarded. And as a result, the overall audience for this show has skyrocketed. And Danny G is reading the reviews. What I would request of you is, if you are subscribed to the podcast, first of all, go subscribe to the podcast. Type in Clay Travis, type in Outkick, go sign up from your phones. We're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on the Google, whatever that Google thing is where you can find podcasts. We're everywhere, all right? Go give us 5 stars. Danny G will read your 5-star reviews, and you get a very esteemed 5-star t-shirt. I believe these t-shirts are only available for 5-star podcast reviews. It is an incredibly exclusive and august and esteemed community. And Danny G, you got a couple of them for me here right now.
Yeah, and as you know, I love to start with a 1-star review just to keep you grounded.
Yes.
Before everyone starts kissing your butt on the reviews. And to your credit, it's not easy to find 1-star reviews. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of 5 stars. Not that many 1-stars. This one, though, is from his iTunes handle, Marcus is a Neckbeard. Clay, 1-star review. His title is just simply Clay. Clay Travis is what happens when human feces learn to talk.
That's the whole thing?
That's his whole.
That would be a remarkable thing, by the way. If human feces were able to talk and they sounded like me, would people really be impressed about what they sounded like, or would they be impressed that feces now are able to talk? I don't think people would be like, oh my God, feces can talk. and they sound just like Clay Travis, I think most people would stop at the feces can talk component of his one-star review and be like, wow, this really changes things. If you pooped and then your poop talked to you, I don't think people would be like, what voice did the poop talk in? I think it would be that the poop was talking.
All right, then I'll get to the three T-shirt winners here, starting with Navigator 2020. Audio guy here, 5 stars. Thanks so much for fixing Clay's annoying headset issue. What a joy it is to listen to one of my favorite podcasts now without it sounding like Clay tapping out Morse code to all his listeners.
There you go. It's gone. The tapping is gone. The audio guy is just reveling in the audio freshness of it.
I apologize for only giving you 2 stars last time that I put one in. I should have given you 5. Just the clicking noise was my only problem with the show. The funny thing is that it only happened when Clay was talking, never when Jason Whitlock or Danny G or Petros or any of your other guests were on, and only on Outkick the Coverage. It never happened on your Outkick the Show.
Yeah.
Seriously, I laughed when Clay said he wanted to strangle me out of my last breath, but if it got the issue fixed, it was worth it. Anyway, thanks for letting me clear that up. By the way, I'm a woman and not a guy, so I would appreciate Clay calling me Audio Gal in the future.
Well, I think there are multiple audio guy and gals. It was actually the headset, it turns out. So we had my headset just exploded one day. I don't even know how exactly it worked, but we were working and I was in the middle of the show and I thought for a minute in my ear, I was like, uh-oh, that sounded like an explosion. And I thought that's probably not a good thing. And then I couldn't hear anything. And so I didn't know what the cause was, but I had a defective headset that was causing audio guy and girl to lose their mind because every now and then there would be a clicking sound, and now we've got a brand new headset and it doesn't exist anymore. It's a Christmas miracle in advance of Christmas. Thank you, Jesus.
The next 5-star T-shirt winner, Sam Wiederhaft, is his iTunes handle. Thank God for Clay. Because Clay was able to fight back against the Corona Bros and play a part in saving college football.
It's true.
I was able to take a job straight out of college as a broadcaster with Coastal Carolina.
Oh, wow.
Who have somehow made it to number 15 in the country. He wrote this on November 19th. Without Clay fighting for college football, I may not have had this opportunity to get my career off the ground. Thank you, Outkick.
We did fight for college football, and I'm not the kind of guy to brag or draw attention to myself, but I think college football might not have happened in the Big Ten or the Pac-12 without us.
And look at that. We helped their coach get some PR, and now it sounds like we helped one of their broadcasters as well.
Job. He's one of the guys they're considering for Vanderbilt.
All right, and Chad.Underwood is this guy's iTunes handle. Another T-shirt winner here. Daily sports topics using common sense. Clay never misses a day to put on his lawyer hat to snipe overly emotional people's opinions using just the facts, and the facts. Outkick the Coverage dissects the top stories in sports and politics related to sports. This podcast features animals gone wild stories from his producer, drunken phone screeners, a cast that constantly takes vacation, no relation to Fox News, completely analyzed thoughts in sports. This technically handicapped sports show is a must listen if you have an open mind. If you're politically correct, you should listen too, but you'll be offended right away by the First Amendment.
Good stuff, as always.
If you heard your review, just get a hold of me on Twitter at Danny G Radio. If you don't have Twitter, DannyGRadio.com. You can hit the message button there.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
This story is, I think, one of the craziest in a story full of insanity in the world of sports this year, basically since March when everything shut down. And in particular, what I am referring to is the San Francisco 49ers are being forced to leave Santa Clara County and relocate to Arizona. And Stanford University, one of the elite academic institutions in the entire world, is being forced to relocate to the state of Washington and also the state of Oregon in order to complete their season. Why? Because Santa Clara County has banned contact sports in their county for everyone, including pro and college football teams. Therefore, the San Francisco 49ers are leaving for Arizona and Stanford is leaving for the Pacific Northwest in Washington and in Oregon. Well, Kyle Shanahan was asked about that, and he didn't hold back. Here's what he said.
It was a very disappointing thing what we got yesterday. Our organization has been working their tails off since training camp with the county and trying to do this above and beyond all the NFL protocols, all the protocols they've asked for, whether it's masks, whether it's tracking, getting tested every single day. I don't think you can do possibly more than anyone in this country is besides all the NFL teams, not just us. And we've been working with them as a partner, just trying to figure it out. And for us to be heading out here yesterday and the relationship we have with them, and for all of our players and coaches and everyone on that plane and our wives to find that out while we're getting on a plane and no one to tell us, I mean, it was just extremely disappointing.
That is Kyle Shanahan talking about the way that Santa Clara County made known that they were not going to be allowed to play in their stadium or in their home jurisdiction anymore. This is a massive story, okay? Sometimes sports stories become metaphors for larger issues that exist in society. Relatively rare, but sometimes. This is one of those times. There are people all over this country who are not being allowed to do their jobs in their cities, in their states, in their counties because of completely illogical, illegitimate, and insipid, stupid rules that are being put in place by petty tin-pot dictator leaders who are making totally irrational decisions. This is one of those decisions. Let me explain. Santa Clara County, as Kyle Shanahan pointed out, has been in the COVID virtue signaling business to the nth degree since all of this process began. They made announcers show up to call games in empty stadiums in Santa Clara County wearing masks inside of the broadcast booth with plexiglass between them. Did that make any sense? No. Did it protect anyone? No. It was all cosmetic theater. The same thing with on-the-field masks and resulting ridiculousness there. It doesn't actually protect anyone. And by the way, there's no actual danger from the games themselves because, as the NFL has pointed out through Dr. Alan Sills, their head of all medical-related issues, there isn't a single case in the world, in the entire world, of COVID spreading through athletic competition. Not one. So this idea that playing football is in some way going to spread COVID during the course of games is fundamentally a lie. It isn't true. It hasn't happened anywhere in the world. In particular, Stanford University has not had a positive COVID test on its football team since July. It's impossible for a football team to do better keeping COVID from spreading than what Stanford has done since July. Yet, in the name of science, not really science, and in the name of safety, not really safety, Santa Clara County is now telling the 49ers and Stanford University, you can't play football in this county anymore for basically the rest of your season. And as a result, hundreds of people on Stanford's football team and the resulting administration and coaches and everybody else, wives probably of coaches, and the 49ers, hundreds of people are going to relocate out of state. Do you know what that means? They are violating the CDC guidelines about travel, and they are moving hundreds of people in close proximity with one another, putting them in new apartments, new hotels, and making themselves less safe than they already were in Santa Clara County. And they are moving, Stanford is, to Washington and Oregon State, and they are moving the 49ers to Arizona to finish their season. What sense does that make? None. But you want to talk about viral stupidity? It's spreading in exponential fashion because you'll notice that neither Stanford nor the San Francisco 49ers decided to stay in the state of California because stupidity is viral. And once the virtue signaling from Santa Clara County is seen, it will be adopted, I really do believe, by LA County and by the idiot governor of California, Gavin Newsom, who has rules for you but doesn't follow them when he goes out to a nice Napa Valley eatery and wants to eat his dinner indoors. By the way, the mayor of San Francisco ate at this same restaurant the next day. $400 plate restaurant, by the way. You want to talk about elites not following the rules that they expect the little people like you and me to follow. That is Exhibit A and Exhibit B. Gavin Newsom and the mayor of San Francisco both ate at the same restaurant, French Laundry, like modern-day Marie Antoinette's. Let them eat cake, Marie Antoinette supposedly said during the French Revolution. Well, during the COVID outbreak, they went to a French restaurant and they ate their cake while they told you that you can't hang out with your family for Thanksgiving and football team, you can't play. That's despite the fact, as you heard Kyle Shanahan say, the 49ers have bent over backwards to try to work with Santa Clara health authorities to be able to play their game. The problem for the 49ers is they thought that Santa Clara County was operating in good faith. They were wrong. The truth of the matter is Santa Clara County is running a sham, fear porn laden industry where they constantly shut down everything. Here's where I am upset with the 49ers. Santa Clara County is run by idiots. If you live there, I feel bad for you, son, because you have to deal with imbeciles on a regular basis who are lying to you and not making decisions that are better for your health. They're not. They're virtue signaling and trying to look as woke as they possibly can. They are leading the COVID fear porn masses, all right? Now, here's the truth. San Francisco 49ers and Stanford University both have massive assets and legal ability to challenge this unconstitutional abrogation of their rights. Lots of small business owners all over this country don't have the resources to be able to stand up to people like the Santa Clara County leaders. There are lots of people out there with small businesses that are shut down, that are hemorrhaging cash, that have worked their entire lives to try to make things better for their family and for themselves, that don't have the financial wherewithal or resources to stand up when their small business is shut down. The 49ers do. Stanford does. How in the world, when they were told they couldn't play football anymore in this county, did they not immediately go straight to the courthouse and sue to keep that regulation from being implemented against them? Because there's no sound basis in scientific logic to shut down contact sports and football. How in the world did they not have the testicular fortitude to stand up to Santa Clara County? Instead, they meekly acquiesced and they got on their airplanes and they got in their cars and they fled the state of California to be able to play football elsewhere. Stanford went north to Washington and Oregon, and the 49ers went east to the state of Arizona. If they had filed lawsuits, there is a good chance that a judge would have stopped Santa Clara County from being able to enforce this regulation because it is arbitrary, it is capricious, and there is absolutely no substantive basis that they are improving health by shutting down football games being played in empty stadiums because there is zero evidence that COVID is being spread that way. In fact, if you have a scintilla of intelligence, you would actually look at this and say, wait a minute. They are actually making things more dangerous Because they're requiring a team in Stanford that hasn't had a positive test since July to relocate to a new state, to travel across state lines, to be able to play football. They are putting the Stanford athletes at more risk, and they are allowing, in theory, the spread of this virus in a more substantive way. And they are also requiring the San Francisco 49ers, which have had no COVID issues of a major nature, to also relocate, all without a semblance of realistic health-related substance upon which to base this regulation. Yet, the 49ers and Stanford both have yet to file suit against these completely arbitrary, capricious, and unconstitutional rules that have been foisted upon them. Why? Probably because they're worried about not being woke enough. They are willing to give up their constitutional rights in order to avoid upsetting people who get angry that the 49ers and Stanford would have the temerity, the gall, the tenacity, the gumption to actually stand up to these petty, despot tyrants who were shutting down small businesses and big businesses all over this country without a scintilla of scientific evidence upon which they are basing that decision. This is a big deal. Lots of sports is not a big deal. Lots of games don't matter in the grand scheme of things. The 49ers and Stanford have an opportunity to stand up for the little guy who doesn't have the resources to go toe-to-toe with these tyrant idiots that are making the decision to shut down everything in these communities. And instead, they are fleeing with their tails tucked between their legs. Shame on you, 49ers. Shame on you, Stanford University. If you won't stand up now for the constitutional rights of yourselves and for so many other citizens in your communities, why should we ever stand up and cheer for you for anything in the future? You cowards. You are pathetic cowards. You have allowed these idiots in Santa Clara County to bully you and to kick you out of your community. And instead of bowing up, instead of standing up to them and filing lawsuits and pointing out that they don't have the authority to do what they have done, you have meekly acquiesced and you have fled the state. You should all be ashamed of yourselves. There is a time and a place for a battle, and it is right damn now, and you were afraid to actually throw a punch back. You just sat there and got your ass kicked. I can't believe how pathetic the 49ers are and how pathetic Stanford University is. I'm disgusted by you, and so should all of your fans be if they have functional brains.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.